Shalom, I'm Rabbi Stephen Sachs. Seeing the whole picture, Rosh Hashanah Day 2, 5779. Gary Rosenblatt, the editor of the New York Jewish Week and frequent critic of President Trump, reported that the week after Trump announced his plans regarding the move of the U.S. Embassy and recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, a friend posed this question to a group, which included Rosenblatt, who'd expressed mixed feelings about Trump's decision. The question was, if President Obama had done what President Trump is doing, would you feel differently? Rosenblatt, who endorsed Hillary Clinton, admitted that it was a good question because it made him determine whether his reaction was based on the policy itself or on who was initiating it. So from now on, when you find yourself rejecting an idea out of hand, pause and ask yourself if your thoughts are being colored by an antipathy towards the person who made the suggestion. If the answer is yes, do yourself a favor and pretend someone you like made the suggestion and reevaluate. Conversely, if you find yourself quickly embracing an idea out of hand, pause and ask yourself if your thoughts are being colored by a favorable view of the person who made the suggestion. If the answer is yes, do yourself a favor and pretend someone you don't like made the suggestion and reevaluate. This simple exercise is invaluable in letting you evaluate suggestions based on their merit without being colored by personal bias. This exercise shouldn't only aid you in making better decisions, it should allow you to see people in a more nuanced manner. After all, if even people you have an antipathy for can come up with good ideas, they too must have some redeeming value. Perikei Avot reminds us, be not scornful of any person, for no person is without his hour. However, it's a lot easier said than done. Particularly in today's age of instant information sharing, our minds can become overloaded with information. Our brains naturally cope by filing the information into easily identifiable mental folders. The result is, often people quickly get placed into our good guy or bad guy folder. Perikei Avot famously advises us, Havedan et kol ha'adam l'chaf zchut. Judge your fellow favorably. In other words, give people the benefit of the doubt. What does that really mean, to give people the benefit of the doubt? If we were to blindly give everybody the benefit of the doubt, we'd be opening up ourselves to being taken advantage of. You're certainly not going to give telemarketers the benefit of the doubt as they make you promises that are too good to be true. So how can we practically understand this idea of giving somebody the benefit of the doubt? The idea of judging favorably also appears elsewhere in the Talmud and Shavuot. Here the Talmud teaches that by judging your fellow favorably, you're fulfilling the biblical mitzvah of Betzedek tishpot amitecha, with righteousness you shall judge your fellow. The concept of judging your fellow for righteousness first actually appears in Vayikra, Leviticus, and it's addressed to judges. Certainly judges can't simply give litigants the benefit of the doubt. They'd be inviting a miscarriage of justice. Rambam teaches that judges should actually view opposing litigants who stand before them as wicked with the presumption that they are lying. Rather than giving the claimants the benefit of the doubt, judges must view them with skepticism in order to ascertain the facts and provide a just verdict. Now, after the proceedings have ended, the judges have to view both litigants as righteous as long as they accept the judgment. Though we may not be sitting on the bench in judgment, we do make judgments about people regularly. Now, we certainly should give people the benefit of the doubt in situations in which we simply don't have sufficient information to judge them fairly. For example, if you see a man walking into McDonald's wearing a kippah and you don't know who he is, you should assume that he's going in to buy a soda and not a hamburger. Rabbeinu Yonah teaches that the degree to which one should favorably judge the actions of another depends on a person's previous behavior. Somebody has a good track record, you give them the benefit of the doubt. If they don't, you should view his claims skeptically. Perhaps we can apply this teaching to Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, who's being mentioned as a possible Democratic candidate for president. Booker, who has long been considered a close friend of Israel, has been heavily criticized for recently appearing in a photo holding a sign reading, "From Palestine to Mexico, all walls have got to go." The explanation provided by Booker's spokesman was that Booker had been in the midst of taking several photos of various people just before addressing a conference, and he simply didn't realize what was written on the sign. In other words, someone thrust a sign into his hands and he smiled at a picture. Well, we'll never really know if Booker knew what was on the sign, but his track record of pro-Israel support makes his explanation more believable. However, giving people the benefit of the doubt, even when appropriate, can be difficult. If anything, by nature, we tend to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt while failing to extend that same courtesy to others. In fact, psychologists tell us that our minds naturally focus on the negative behavior of others. Does anyone really remember that Bill Buckner of the Boston Red Sox was a lifetime 300 hitter? All he's remembered for is allowing the ball to go through his legs in Game 6 of the 1986 World Series, allowing the Mets to complete an improbable comeback and defeat Boston in the World Series. So this year, let's try to catch ourselves as we quickly place people into our bad guy folders and instead judge others the way God judges us. The Zichronot, remembrance section of the Rosh Hashanah Musaf Amidah, reminds us that God takes into account the totality of our actions as he presides in judgment over us. Therefore, we must make a conscious effort to take into account the good along with the bad. By doing so, we can on one hand protect ourselves from being taken advantage of, and on the other hand, we could allow ourselves to find redeeming values in those who we previously placed into our bad guy folder. The Talmud in Brachot speaks of tzaddikim, righteous individuals, and rasha'im, wicked individuals. It even suggests that there are some individuals who are worthy of being considered a tzaddik gamur, a completely righteous individual, and those who are worthy of being considered a rasha gamur, completely wicked individual. Now, in truth, I don't think there's anybody who's completely righteous and free of sin. You live, you make mistakes, that's life. That's why we have this season of teshuva, repentance. And particularly today on 9/11, we should be cognizant of the fact that there are such people as terrorists who are worthy of being labeled a Rasha Gamor, completely wicked person. Fortunately, we don't come into contact with these types too often. The truth of the matter is there are plenty of imperfect but good people and some not so great people that occasionally do good. Our job is to fight the mind's tendency to pigeonhole people as good guys or bad guys and instead view people in their entirety. Yes, this is a nuanced approach and it takes more work, but judge others the way that you would want to be judged. You certainly wouldn't want God to write you off just because you made some bad mistakes in the past. Before concluding this discussion of judgment, let's address the question of how you judge one more person, yourself. As we've already mentioned, we tend to view others harshly and instinctively give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. Think Al Capone was busy trying to figure out how to do teshuvah as he sat in prison towards the end of his life? No, he was kvetching, he was whining that his good works had gone unappreciated by society. And he was a cold-blooded murderer, kal vachomer, how much more so are we likely to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt? In order to help you conduct an accurate chesbon ha-nefesh, an accounting of your soul, and not fall into the trap of giving yourself a pass, the Talmud advises you to view yourself as half guilty and half meritorious, a benoni, a middle of the roader, who can tip the scales of judgment in his favor by performing just one more mitzvah. You can even change the world for the better by performing a single mitzvah. Think I'm kidding? Listen to this story. Senator Scoop Jackson of the state of Washington was once asked why he championed the issue of Soviet Jewry. After all, there weren't many Jews in Washington, and there wasn't much of a political incentive for him to fight this fight. Jackson explained that as a teenager, he had worked in a store owned by a Jew and watched as anti-Semites tormented this decent man who'd always treated him well. Jackson vowed that from that day on, he would do whatever he could to save suffering Jews. This Jewish man's simple kindness inspired Jackson to become a leading force in a movement that resulted in tens of thousands of Jews partaking in a modern exodus. Now go find your mitzvah and tip the scales of judgment in your favor.